This morning we are starting a new sermon series entitled Heroes, and that sermon series really comes out of, sort of generated out of Hebrews 11. As you read through Hebrews 11, you see all these different heroes of the faith. And so we, as the preaching team, I said to them, pick some heroes from the Old Testament. And let's each week preach on a hero from the Old Testament. And so we're starting that today. But before we do that, I just want to share with the church family that Karen Borden, a very, very longtime member of SBC, passed into the Lord's presence last Sunday. And there's going to be a memorial service here on July the 24th at 2 p.m. here at WRC. And what we're asking you to do, if you're planning to come to that memorial service, we're asking you either to call the church office or to send us an email at office@sanagebaptist.org so we know how many people are attending so we can prepare with all the COVID restrictions for that. We're also going to have that service live streamed as well. But I want to encourage you to be praying for her Karen's husband, Bruce, and the children, Ross and Carolyn and Natalie and their families. And during this time, this is a time where our church has been experiencing a lot of grief lately. So before we jump in to the sermon today, I just want to take a minute and pray for us. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you that we are living in a wonderful place. And during this time in the summer, we can enjoy your creative handiwork and the warm weather. We can enjoy once again being together. Father, thank you for all of that. Thank you that we as a church family can celebrate with those who celebrate and also mourn with those who mourn. And we think of Pathma family, we think of Vern's friends, we think of Karen and his family, we think of Bruce and the children and the grandchildren. Father, we just pray in these days that your spirit would be poured out and people would find comfort. Father, we thank you for the legacy that all these ladies have left, a powerful legacy. Thank you, in a couple of weeks we can gather to celebrate Karen's life. But Father, in these days, as people mourn, I pray you would pour out your spirit of comfort. Father, as we look at the story in the Old Testament this morning, I pray, God, you would speak to us. You would show us where the dry areas are of our life and then pour your life-giving spirit into them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're starting the new series, Heroes, as I mentioned, and the first person I want us to look at is Ezekiel. And a little background on Ezekiel, because what we're really going to do is look at an event in Ezekiel's life. But Ezekiel lived in the 6th century B.C., and he was a Hebrew priest and prophet. And in his early time as a priest and prophet, he spent a lot of time denouncing the Jewish people and their sin and their corruption. And after the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, Ezekiel became more of a comforter of the people, holding out to them that one day they would return to the promised land. Ezekiel's loftiest vision was that of a valley of dry bones. And today we're going to look at that amazing moment in Ezekiel's life. It's found at the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 37. So before we jump there, let me give you a little bit of background real quick to that chapter. Many years earlier, God had brought the Jewish people out of captivity in Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And even though God had freed them and given them a land and made them a nation, they turned their back on God. And so God allowed them once again to go into captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar and his army invaded Israel, taking the Jewish people to Babylon as captives. Thus, the book of Ezekiel was written to people in captivity. And with that background, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll start in verse 1. It says this, "The Lord took hold of me." When I prepare a sermon, I read the passage in different versions, and one of the ones I usually read is the Message paraphrase, and the Message paraphrase starts verse 1 like this. It says, God grabbed me. God grabbed me. Now, I just want to take you on a little tangent this morning, because when I read those verses, I thought, has God grabbed me? And I thought to myself, what's got hold of me? And let me ask you this morning, has God got hold of you? Has God grabbed you? A bigger question to ask even is, what is grabbing you these days? Is it money? Is it career? Is it a relationship? Is it God? What is grabbing you? Because what you allow to grab you will determine how you live. What you allow to grab you will determine how you live. Okay, that was a tangent. That was for free. But we'll go on with the story now. God grabbed Ezekiel and set him down in the middle of a valley. Not just any valley, a valley full of dry bones. Listen to the rest of verse 1 and verse 2. And I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Ezekiel found himself in a valley littered with dry bones. Dry bones as far as the eye could see. Can you imagine that? And it says that he was led all around among the bones. Can you just imagine the bones crunching under his feet as he walks back and forth in this valley? What an absolutely dry, dead, lifeless place. In verse 3, we find a very strange question. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? God asked Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Imagine for a minute, you're Ezekiel, you're in this valley of dry bones, and you're looking over this valley of bones. It's nothing but dry bones, and you're looking at them. They've been exposed to the elements for years. They're lying everywhere. The situation looks desperately hopeless. What would you have thought? How would you have answered that question? I think I would have said, are you kidding? Look at these bones. They've been here for years. Of course they can't live again. But Ezekiel knew who was speaking to him. So he answered, O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Ezekiel knew he didn't know the answer to that question. Only God did. Let me ask you this morning, as you look at this picture of this valley of dry bones, maybe there's an area of your life that you would describe as dry and dead and lifeless. Maybe it's your marriage, your finances, your dreams, a family relationship, another relationship, your career, maybe your faith, dry, dead, lifeless. And maybe you sense right now God is asking you, can those dry bones live again? In verses 4 to 6, we have the first message from God to Ezekiel. It says, then he said to me, God said to Ezekiel, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel was to declare the words of God to those dry bones, and that's what he did. He obeyed and he spoke. What if we started to do that? What if we started activating the prophetic in our lives? What if we began to prophesy over the dead areas of our lives? What if we began to speak God's words over those dead, dry, lifeless areas in our lives? What could happen? Ezekiel spoke to the bones, and believe it or not, the bones responded. Look at verse 7. So I spoke this message just as he told me, and suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Ezekiel spoke the words of God to those dry bones, and suddenly there was a sound of bones colliding with bones, skulls jammed into spines, toes joined with feet, ankles snapped onto legs, bones, you can just imagine it, right? Bones flying everywhere. There was a rattling noise. Okay, I don't know about you, but that'd be kind of a freaky scene. I mean, seriously, because no longer was the prophet looking at all these dry bones. Now he was looking at a valley of skeletons. Imagine being Ezekiel in that moment. And then skin grew on top of the skeletons, and the bones had become complete bodies. But there was no breath. And without breath, they were just corpses. Breath makes all the difference, doesn't it? I mean, you can look completely normal and yet be dead. I mean, if you've ever seen a dead body that's freshly dead, people look like they're sleeping. They don't look dead, but they have no breath. So they're just a corpse. And I think sometimes today people are alive and yet they're dead. They're dry and they're lifeless on the inside. They're dead. And I think some churches can be that way too. And in verse 9, God told Ezekiel, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. In the Hebrew, the words breath and wind are the same word, and that word is used several times in this passage. In fact, it's the same word that's used in verse 1 for the Spirit of the Lord. In those lifeless bodies, if those lifeless bodies were going to live again, they had to have the breath of the Spirit of God breathed into them. And so in verse 10, once again, Ezekiel obeyed me, spoke, so I spoke the message as he commanded me. Ezekiel obeyed, and he said to those corpses, he said, come breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. Now, if the scene wasn't already crazy enough, look what happened in the rest of verse 10. And breath came into their bodies. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. The life-giving, creation-bringing breath of the living God came upon them, and those bodies started breathing, and they stood to their feet. And notice how Ezekiel described this mass of people. He described them as a vast army. Do you want to see the dry bones live in your life? Pray for God to breathe his life into those dry areas. Oh God, breathe into those dead bodies. Breathe into those dry areas in my life so they may live again. The story concludes in verse 11. It says this, then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They're saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Notice from these verses, the bones, the dry bones represented the people of Israel. They had no hope. All hope was gone. But then God told them, and he would cause them to rise again, that they would live again. Their hope would be restored. And when that happened, people would know that he is the Lord. It's an incredible story. An amazing passage. And I just want to share a few reflections with you. Here's number one. I think one of the things that really jumps off this passage at me is that here are the Israelites. They're dry, roasted bones. And I wonder what our lives are like. And so I think the first reflection is this. We need to examine our spiritual lives. We just need to examine our lives. Let me ask you a question. What would you see if God were to grant you a vision of your life? What would you see if God was to grant you a vision of your life? What kind of valley would it be? Or to get more specific, what would you see if God was to grant you a vision of your spiritual life? What kind of valley would it be? I think coming out of this last 14, 16 months of COVID, some people are just dry, dead, even spiritually lifeless. It's been a hard time. I know this about people. It's possible to look completely normal and yet be bone dry spiritually. It's possible to look completely normal and yet be bone dry spiritually. Most of you in this room here, you look pretty much completely normal. Some of you are a little, but most of you look completely normal. And yet I bet some of you are bone dry spiritually. No one would ever know. What's your life like? Pastor Tony Evans has said this about the Israelites in Ezekiel 37. He said this, the reason the Israelites were like a valley of parched bones was that their disobedience had created distance and distance had created dryness. And I think the same can be true of us. Disobedience to God creates distance from God and distance creates dryness. If you're dry spiritually, it's usually because you're distant. And often if you're distant, it's because Your disobedience. Disobedience dehydrates your soul. Disobedience dehydrates your soul. But there's good news. No matter how dry you are, your bones can live again. Your bones can thrive again. Your bones can rejoice. Excuse me, your bones can rejoice again. Time for some water. Here's the second reflection. We need to hear from God and then obediently speak his word. We need to hear from God and then obediently speak his word. God told Ezekiel to speak the words of God into the valley, and Ezekiel faithfully obeyed. And when he spoke those words created a miracle. We too need to obediently speak the words God gives to us. And when we do that, we will see that God's word is living and active and life-giving and miracle-creating. If you want to see the dry bones in your life live, then the place to start is to do what Ezekiel did. Hear from God and then obediently speak his word over the dead, dry areas of your life. Start speaking God's life-giving word over the dead, dry areas of your life. You start doing that, and things will start happening. Third reflection is this. We need to pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christ follower, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "And don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God?" When you became a Christ follower, the Spirit of God indwelt in you. There is both great mystery and great power in that. Thus, as Christ followers, we're supposed to live lives empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we know that isn't always the case. In fact, for many Christ followers today, it's been a long time since the Holy Spirit has breathed fresh life into their lives. What we need today, what so many people need today, is a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul said this in Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled, those verses here, be filled means, right here, be filled means present tense. Be filled, in the Greek in which the New Testament was written, is in the present tense. It means keep on being filled. It's continuous. Being filled with the Spirit of God is a continuous process. Daily, we need to ask and then surrender to the infilling and empowering the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every day, we need to get up and we need to ask God to fill us with the Spirit, and then we need to do that in a posture of humbleness and surrender. I believe God is ready to release the flow of his Spirit in new, fresh ways. I believe there's a powerful, fresh move of the Spirit coming. The big question for us is, are we willing to let God breathe his Spirit into our lives? Are you willing to allow God to breathe life into those dead, dry, lifeless areas of your life? Here's the next reflection. We need to know our mission. We need to know our mission. What had been a graveyard full of dry bones was formed into a vast army who stood to their feet ready to fulfill the purposes of God, ready to go back into the promised land. The church is also an army, if you will, that has been brought together and organized for the purpose of joining Jesus on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. So often today, people look at the church and they see dry bones. They see churches that are dying. They see churches that are in trouble. They see churches that are got a bad image nationally. But when I look at the church through all of that, I see an army. A Spirit-empowered army on a mission with Jesus to redeem and renew all things through him. an army that is going to go out and bring life to this city, life to the people in the city. He's going to use the church to heal the hurting and raise up people to know him. I see an army. And as we go out and as we bring life, the life of Jesus to this city, God's glory and power will be revealed and the people will know that he is the Lord. And the last reflection is this. I think we need to remember there's hope. Maybe there's an area of your life today that you would describe as a valley of dry bones and you're losing hope. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something else, your job, your spiritual life, your health, whatever it is. There's an area of your life that you would describe as dry, dead, lifeless, and you're losing hope. Listen, your situation may seem impossible, but here's what I know. Dry bones can live again. We have a God who is in the business of bringing dead things back to life. The life-giving, creation-bringing breath of the living God can bring life, can breathe life into the most dead of things. A valley full of dry bones, when he breathes life, they become a living, vast army. Listen, our life-giving God can breathe life into your marriage, can breathe life into that broken relationship, can breathe life into that dry soul. I believe God wants to bring life today. I believe God wants to give hope today. I believe God wants to perform some miracles today. I believe God wants to pour out his spirit in a fresh way today. I believe God wants to bring life to those areas of your life that are dry. He wants you to walk out of this room today if you're sitting here, experiencing him in a fresh way. And you may have walked in dead and dryless, but he wants you to walk out full of life. Now I'm going to pray for you, and then Kim's going to come and lead us in communion. The most life-giving act the church can partake of. Let me pray. Come, O breath of God, from the four winds. Breathe your life into the dry areas of our lives. Come, O breath of God, from the four winds, and breathe your life into dry marriages, breathing them to life again. Come, O breath of God, from the four winds, and breathe life into the exhausted, the tired, the burned out. Bring joy to their souls and fill them with energy and life that come from you again. Come, O breath of God, from the four winds and breathe your life into those whose faith is dry and lifeless. Raise them up. Give them life. Let them know your presence. Restore their souls. Come, O breath of God, from the four winds and breathe your life into relationships that are dead and broken and conflictual, and breathe life into them and bring healing. Breathe on us, breath of God, and fill us with life anew so that others can know that you are the Lord. Amen.